Chapter 23. Choosing Teams. Brannis awoke to a swaying sensation that reminded him instantly that he was on a ship. A warm, heavy pressure on his chest turned out to be Soria using him for a pillow. It was such a strange feeling, an echo of Vaedrus following him. Kyrus had found Juliana in much the same way when she shared his bed. The captain's quarters had windows facing out the rear of the ship, and two portholes to either side, covered with glass. Pale light streamed through, but it was plenty bright enough to see by. Brannis turned as best he could without disturbing Soria's sleep and looked outside. The sky was flat gray. A ceiling of clouds hung over the Katamic. It might have foretold a coming storm, or it might have just been a cloudy day, Brannis could not say. Either way, he was neither sailor nor sorcerer. There was naught he could do to help, even if it was to be a storm. He settled back in and waited till his love awakened. After a time, she stirred. By the time she came fully awake, Soria found Brannis' arms wrapped tight around her. She relaxed and just allowed him to hold her for a time. Despite the very strange reality that she had only just met him the day before, Soria felt as if she had known Brannis all her life. Through Juliana's memories, she nearly had.
"Good morning," Brannis spoke softly, brushing a lock of hair away from her face.
She cooed back.
"Good morning, Kyrus."
She made a point of remembering the name that he used in Tellurac. "You do not have to call me that outside of the crew's hearing. Once we are rid of them, you may as well just call me Brannis from now on. Kyrus Hinterdale is a wanted criminal," Brannis said. "I still find it odd calling you Soria, Juliana." She stretched, one limb, one joint, one muscle at a time, squirming about in Brannis's embrace as she worked herself awake for what seemed to be a conversation steering its way clear of insipid pillow chatter.
"Think of it as play acting. You are who you say you are, whatever you are called. The difference between Kyrus and Brannis is only as wide as you make it out to be. You are Kyrus, Brannis."
"You of all people should know better than that. You have met us both now, though Kyrus is doing much more play-acting than I am. You can see the differences," Brannis argued.
Soria worked her way free of Brannis's grasp and propped herself up on an elbow, looking down at him.
"I know better than that, actually. You are fit and strong, and Kyrus looked like a strong wind would carry him off. That's superficial. If he spent years in the practice yard working with swordmasters, traipsing about in armor and generally living like a knight, he would look just like you."
"Yes, but no amount of study can make my source anything like his," Brannis countered.
"Well, that is one key difference with Twinborn. Your sources might look like the sun and moon, a new moon at that, but they are your own at least. The two parts of the split source seem to be what bind a set of twins together, from what I have been told, at least. It is in here that is the same, though." She tapped Brannis on the forehead.
"Well, that is where you are wrong," Brannis quickly replied. "We do not think alike or act alike. Kyrus is playing at being me, and probably only getting by at it because they are all so confused about the sudden change in him."
"You two boys don't think alike, huh?" Soria asked sarcastically, looking meaningfully at the two of them in bed together. "Kyrus had not met Juliana before a few days ago, but certainly remembered her well enough to betray Iridan's trust to have her. There are prettier girls in the Empire, I figure, so why me?"
Brannis had no ready answer for that one. Soria pressed her advantage while he struggled to find one.
"And how about you and me? You know I am not Juliana, at least not the way you thought of Juliana, but I am close enough. I know all the words to convince you I am. I remember little details neither of us would have told from when you tried courting me years ago. You were so adorably chivalrous about it, treating me like your lady when you were barely old enough to grow fuzz on your face and call it a beard."
"But it is not like that with me and Kyrus," Brannis protested. "It was not much, not anything really, but it was all he could think of."
"It will be. Soria and Juliana have been aware of each other since I was a little girl," Soria explained.
hurting Brannis's brain by referring to herself in the third person by two different names in the same sentence. It takes some getting used to. You have been aware of Kyrus for how long? A season, perhaps two? When we were searching for you, I found out your trial had been held on the 14th of Gladewatch, which was about a season ago. How long had you known by then?
Oh, maybe a week or so, I guess, truly. Thinking back on it of late, I think I had a vague awareness for years that I had just never paid much attention to.
Brannis suspected that talking to Soria and Juliana was going to be confusing if she insisted on mixing months with seasons or other similar misuses of Telluraki and Vaedran standards.
Give it time. Someday when you talk about Kyrus, you will find yourself referring to him as I, even in your own head.
Soria smiled down at him. Whether you choose to call me Soria or Juliana, or any other name you like, you will think of me as Juliana. That's fine. It's all the same to me.
Her smile turned mischievous as she continued. And I think Juliana has had just about enough talking for now.
She leaned down and kissed him. To her faint surprise, she found herself being lifted gently but firmly into the air and off of Brannis as their kiss concluded. She was a fair bit heavier than Juliana, with actual honest-to-goodness muscle on her frame, but Brannis still hoisted her up as if she was filled with straw.
Kyrus has not, Brannis joked. There will be time enough for that later, and plenty of it, mind you. There is nothing in this world to keep us apart. You work where and when you choose. I am a fugitive, if anyone ever makes the connection between me and Kyrus, at least. Even at that, I think we ought to be able to keep at bay any trouble from that front. For now, though, things are going on that need attention.
Well, if I had any doubts about you being Brannis, you certainly have shattered them,
Soria sighed. She twisted in his arms, breaking his careful hold on her, and collapsing face up into the crook of his arm.
If you insist on being all practical, go ahead.
I need to know about these companions of yours. If I'm going to be trusting them with secrets of two worlds, there are things I will need to know, Brannis began.
What sort of things? Soria asked with an irritated huff.
Brannis surmised that she hoped they would be short things and few of them.
Well, you gave me the "We are surrounded by pirates" version last night, but I would like to know who they each are, in both worlds. What is their story? How long have you known them? What is it they do? How well did they fight? That sort of thing, Brannis said.
Soria turned to look Brannis in the eye, and when she saw no hint that the conversation could be forestalled, she took a deep breath and began.
Well, you know Zelisan is Varnus, so he ought to be easy enough to explain. I met him as a girl in Vaedras, and as a 15-year-old here. He has been nearly as much a father to me as Shader Archon has been. There may be no blood relation, but he was always there, and my father rarely was. He guarded me for a shift each day of my young life until I went to the academy, and any time I was home after that. Merciful one, he was the one who found me in hysterics and called for a midwife to calm me down after my first moon flow scared me witless. Around here, he spent some time in the Akkadian army before leaving for better coin as a mercenary. He tried the noble blade routine for a while, but there wasn't enough work in it, so he got himself mixed up in settling scores for one group of scum against another. It wasn't exactly knightly stuff, but it was keeping the wolves fighting amongst themselves, at least. Eventually, he gathered up a little group of fighters who were twinborn, and they were able to make some real coin at it. Those twinborn would be Tanner and Rikashi. I never did get the story of how those two met, but it somehow involved a duel as far as I could gather.
Soria paused for a moment as if trying to remember something.
Anyway, Zell took over as their leader, and in addition to earning coin, they looked for magic stuff. It seems that Twinborn have been polluting Telluraq with magic for centuries, at least, and some of the stuff is still floating around here and there. They figured if they armed themselves with enough magic, they could carve themselves out a little fiefdom somewhere and live like royalty.
So how did that work out? Brannis asked.
It's still working out. None of us is ready to hang up our blades yet, but we could buy a bit of land in any kingdom we wanted. I have enough trade bars on me now to buy this ship, Soria bragged, and then giggled as Brannis made an exaggerated search of her for them. Well, with me, I meant. Anyway, we have a fair bit of magic among us as well, enough that we do not get pushed around by anyone without some connection to Vaedrus and the ability to fight back with magic of their own.
Are there many of you, of us, around? Brannis asked.
Enough, I guess. I mean, we are still a tiny minority, but there are enough that you need to watch yourself letting slip details of Vaedrus around here, and of Tellurak back there. You should always be more careful around sorcerers. Zell is the exception. One of every pair usually has magical ability. For you, it is Kyrus.
I guess you are the opposite side of exceptions, Brannis guessed.
Yeah, Juliana's fingers get a lot more practice at spells, but I could manage most of what she does. I concentrate on silent casting, since anything overt might cause trouble if I got found out. You saw how that goes with the whole witch trial, Soria said, once again fluidly mixing Brannis up with Kyrus.
Is that why you did so poorly in the academy? You had all the talent you ever needed. You could have been fourth circle by now if you ever tried, Brannis prodded. Juliana could have been a top student if she had shown the interest that Brannis had.
I guess so. I never really thought about it like that at the time. I was just suspicious in general. Getting held back a year was embarrassing, so I tried a bit more after that, but I never really cared to devote my whole life to the Imperial Circle. I just sort of got carried along, Soria mused. Brannis wondered how often she fell into introspection. He would have brooded for years over his own failings if that had been his path through the academy. In fact, he had brooded over his failings, insomuch as being devoid of talent was a failing. What about the others? Brannis knew Juliana always hated getting caught up talking about herself, so he did her the favor of changing the subject. He would learn about Soria's past when she was ready to tell it. It was not her that he was worried about.
Well, Tanner is Tanner, I suppose. It is his Cadran surname he uses, Tanner. First name is Elman, but he hates it, so he just goes by Tanner, Soria said. I suppose he has to answer to it in the army, so he had to keep that bit, at least.
What is his name in Tellurak? Brannis asked. He felt like a pest, interrupting her to pick at details, but one day he might have to make inquiries about the man, and knowing his given name could prove useful.
Dunno, Soria admitted. I only got the Elman bit out of him, betting on the outcome of a street brawl in Kesh. I tried to get his Akkardian name out of him over a game of dice, but I didn't win that time.
What was your stake? Brannis asked, teasing her.
A kiss, she admitted. Only one he's ever gotten, and I stopped trying to weasel his name out of him after that. I only gamble for coin now, not secrets. You're welcome to try him, though. I'm sure you've got plenty of secrets to barter.
I can do better than that. I'm his senior officer in Cadran, remember? Brannis chuckled. I can get him the post of his dreams, or make his life miserable. If I decide I want to know, I have plenty of leverage.
Just promise me I can be there to watch if you try the miserable route, Soria grinned. Even if it's a bluff, the look on his face ought to be worth it.
Fine, deal, Brannis agreed.
When we thought we were still chasing Kyrus around, Tanner mentioned something about wanting to duel him. He may still have some thought of it. We dissuaded him by pointing out that it wouldn't be a fair match, since Kyrus was, you know, sort of a weak, skinny, bookish sort, Soria managed with barely suppressed laughter as she teased Brannis. He glared at her, but since they were both more or less looking up at the cabin ceiling, it lacked the intended effect.
Since you're not Kyrus, he may still want to try you.
Do I need to worry? Brannis wondered. He knew he was not the greatest technical swordsman, but he held his own well enough.
Use avalanche and you should be fine, so long as you're well armored. That suit you have with you will be plenty, Soria joked.
That good, is he? Brannis asked.
Yeah, she replied. He and Rikashi used to spar more often, years ago. It was something to see. Rakashi really knows how to use that half-spear of his, but Tanner would still win almost every time. If you ever see Rakashi without his shirt on, you'll see dozens of little scars. They used to duel to first blood.
What about Rakashi, then? What is his story? The rest of you, I can see how you got mixed up together, but how does a Takalish warrior fall in with Akkadian coin blades?
Rakashi fights for the sake of fighting. He won't brawl like some drunk, but he'll cross blades with anyone who'll have at him. Tanner used to be like that in a way, too. With Tanner, he was just an arrogant kid who was great with a blade. I thought he had mostly grown out of it, but the way he's been going on about that new pistol of his, and how that's what warriors will be in a few years, I wonder whether that's true anymore. For Rakashi, the fighting is some sort of spiritual thing. He doesn't get mad when he fights. He just does the best he can to test himself.
Brannis said nothing. It confirmed something he had been worried about since they had first introduced him to Rakashi. He had been privy to every bit of information the Kadrin Empire had about Magrin and their allies. He had studied the Magrin Rebellion and the tactics they had used. Rakashi had to have been trained as a blade priest.
"He doesn't talk much about himself," Soria continued. "He thinks a lot. He likes to look at nature when he thinks, saying it helps him keep his perspective about his own problems. He likes to look at the sea or the mountains to show himself how small he really is. I know what he's trying to say, but I don't quite understand it. I was raised in a Tezuan temple. They taught us that there is more within us than outside us. You can explore the whole of the world if you lived long enough, but if you lived 1,000 years, you could never finish exploring your own mind."
"I should ask Iliardra about that one. She might be able to settle it for you," Brannis joked. "She's over 10,000 summers old."
Soria turned over and pushed herself up to look at Brannis in the eye. "She worries me," Soria said. "When she sent me through Rashan's wards to see you, it was so easy. It was like no magic I had ever felt. I actually didn't feel it at all. She was reading this book, too. It was filled with prophecies. Dark, evil stuff, mostly."
"I would like to see that book," Brannis told her, trying hard to keep it from sounding like he was giving her an order, though that was just what he was doing. "But can you please stop talking about Juliana and Kyrus as if they were us? It's confusing."
"I remember all that happening. You remember it too. What's the difference?"
Brannis frowned. Soria smiled and settled back in next to him. "One other thing about Rakashi," Brannis said.
"Yes?"
"You mentioned that Tanner was a match for him. What about you?" Brannis asked. "Have you ever dueled with him?"
"He said he wouldn't hit a woman," Soria answered.
"I agreed, he wouldn't. It was one of the first times I really ever saw him laugh, but we didn't fight. If it ever came down to it, though, he wouldn't stand a chance. I am a Tezuan master in the way they never believed possible. They talk about ether and source in their own terms, but they don't understand him like we Kadrins do. I am the closest thing they've seen to a warlock." Soria chuckled, shaking her head at something she just thought of.
"You know, for as much as I loathe my oath father, I understand what it is like having free rein to do what you want, because no one can tell you otherwise."
"If that was true, why did you want to find Kyrus to recruit him for your little band of coin seekers?" Brannis wondered aloud.
"Because it was you, silly. I knew since Rainsdark that you were out here somewhere, and the whole Kyrus thing just seemed too good a gamble to pass up. Once I saw the wanted posters of you in Scar Harbor, I knew for sure," Soria claimed. "Oh, and by the by,"
she whacked him, hard, right on the stomach. Brannis winced, accompanied by a startled grunt.
"You are dense as stone at times. I had dropped hints from Cadrus to Rainsdark to see if anything would seem familiar. Half the trail songs I sang were from Tellurak."
"I thought I might have recognized some of them, but could never quite get past how awful your singing was," Brannis said, then snickered. Soria pulled one of the pillows from the bed and hit him with it. A minor skirmish ensued, and Brannis emerged victorious, with Soria laughing helplessly under his onslaught of feather-filled pillows.
"Are you hungry?"
I just realized I am, Brannis panted as he caught his breath after the mock fighting and laughing he had just done. Soria nodded in the affirmative. They both found clothes and went to see what the Merciful had lying about for breakfast. The food was better than Brannis had expected. While he was still unused to the cuisine of Tellurac, extensive trading seemed to have led to more diverse fare. He had eaten more than his share of preserved meats in his day, but the pork sausage was spiced with something he could not name. They ate out on the deck of the ship, the six of them, Brannis's new crew in Tellurac. Himself, Soria, Wendell, Tanner, Zelisan, and Rakashi. The rest of the crew stayed well away from them as they worked. With the noise of the sea, and the four of the ship all to themselves, Brannis thought it safe to discuss his plans, now that he was confident that he had one. It felt odd to Brannis that everyone had deferred to him so readily. Soria had been their leader, except for Wendell, and since she seemed content to let Brannis choose their path, the rest had gone along. All right, everyone, Brannis said. I've decided what our next moves are going to be. Wendell has business in Takalia. Once we make it to port, that will be our first priority. Since it may be a delicate endeavor, I think it would be best to keep the numbers to a minimum. Therefore, I think it would be best if Zelisan would accompany him. Brannis looked to the hulking older man for confirmation. What he saw was a mixture of puzzlement and acceptance. Zelisan had been a wanderer with none but his companions to answer to for a long time, but back in Vaedris, he was a soldier at heart. To what end? Zelisan asked. It was not the sort of response a marshal expected from a soldier, but without a solid command structure to back him out on the Katamic, Brannis supposed that Zelisan had grounds enough to question him. Well, Wendell has to go. It is his errand, after all. Of the rest of us, you are the best suited to act as a bodyguard. I know you are suited to it, and experienced as well. I have no worry at all, putting Wendell's safety in your hands, Brannis told Zelisan, hoping that the vote of confidence in him would make the sting of being shipped off with the rascally magician a little less painful. Are you certain you would not rather accompany me yourself, Sir Brannis? Wendell asked, leaving his preference exposed for all to hear. With that sword and armor, none would stand against you. That is just not the sort of armor one finds lying about in Tellurac. I'm flattered that you would take my protection over Zelisan's, Wendell. I have other business to attend to, though, which takes me in another direction. Besides, I think that I would be hard-pressed to keep it to just the two of us, Brannis replied, giving a grin and a meaningful glance Soria's way. Right on that count, I spent months tracking you down. I'm not letting you out of my sight, Soria said, not giving the slightest hint of joking. There were a few chuckles anyway at her manner. I will be heading to Kyrus's home, Scar Harbor, Brannis said. When I suppose, fled, I must have left a cataclysmic mess in my wake. I want to go back and tie off a few loose ropes, set a few things to rights. There are a few things I need to look into as well, none of which I can send another to do in my place. Sure thing, I'll be glad to help, Tanner said, nodding. Just as soon as you untangle that knot of a plan and explain it again. If that's supposed to be something to work on, I missed where you said what we were doing. Well, the we part is a bit of a different story, but I was purposefully vague. While Wendell is just on personal business, I have some sensitive matters to see to, which I do not feel safe enough discussing on Stalyart's ship. Once we book passage out of Takalia, I will go into more details, Brannis hedged. In truth, it was quite the opposite. Wendell was working some scheme he had only half explained, but he was clearly working on an elaborate plan to get the staff of Galen. Either that, or he was using such a plan as a ruse for some even deeper plot. Either way, Brannis wanted as little attention drawn to it as possible, from Stalyart as well as Rakashi. So we're just going to end up in a circle after all this? Tanner asked, clearly unimpressed with the plan. We just came from there a week or so ago. I'm going to get dizzy. Hey, how about after that we head over to Marker's Point, and then maybe we see if we can shave a day off our time from last trip. Well, I'm glad you hate my plan, Brannis joked, drawing glances away from Tanner's direction and toward himself. Because I have a different task for you. Brannis gave a wide smile that did not seem to reassure Tanner in the least. Tanner turned his head and looked sidelong at Brannis.
What's that?
You get to stay and keep an eye on Denric Zane. You are Cadrin's new ambassador to Magrin. Tanner's jaw dropped. He stood there gaping at Brannis as if he had just seen him sprout a second head.
Brannis, you can't just abandon him with these pirates, Zelisan objected.
He's right, Brannis, that's not fair at all, Soria said, sounding concerned about the prospects Tanner had of surviving on his own among the pirates. He doesn't deserve that.
Deserve? We're a few days yet from Takalia, so you have time to think it over, Brannis told Tanner. But I think once you do that, you're going to find yourself enjoying the prospect. Denric Zane made me the offer of an ambassadorship, but he could not trust Kyrus's magic. Tanner will fill that vacant role, and there will be no threat of him burning down the ship. Admittedly, with Kyrus, there was always that concern.
So you're saying I get to play a pirate, with the official status of ambassador to protect me?
Tanner asked, seeming to warm slightly to the idea.
They make good coin, stock better ale than most taverns, and you would likely be spared any of the real work of running the ship. As for official, well, I do not know how official we can possibly make it, but you will be protected by mutual interest in keeping open a line of communication. Sorry to say, but you are not valuable enough to make a hostage of, nor dangerous enough for him to fear. You get to fall in between, under the category of too useful to kill. Which is a good place to be, Brannis said. He felt like he was tipping Tanner over the edge, past his objections.
I'll think about it.
Might not be the trick coin it sounded like when you first mentioned it, Tanner conceded.
Brannis knew at that point that he had won. Tanner was just saving face by not admitting he was swayed so quickly. He would let the question linger a bit before making his decision known. Brannis had been picking up on the way Rashan maneuvered people, and had seen the warlock elicit the same reaction from a number of nobles and inner circle members. People more or less all functioned the same, and anyone with pride and at least a nominal ability to refuse would prefer to make it seem like they had come to the decision on their own. Either way, it served Brannis well enough.
Since I will be heading to Scar Harbor, and I assume by her earlier comment that Soria will be coming as well, that just leaves you, Rakashi, Brannis said, continuing his allotments of personnel with the one he was least sure of. You can choose whether you come with me and Soria, or stay with Tanner and head over to Denric Zane's ship when I convince Stalyard to deliver him. Of course, you could also choose your own path. I have no authority in Cadran that I could hold over you, so you are free to do what you like.
Takalia is my homeland. Perhaps it would be best if I were to escort Wendell and Zelisan, Rakashi offered placidly. His manner gave no indication of duplicity, but Brannis had seen far better than him at subterfuge. He would choose to distrust Rakashi's motives until he had taken his own stock of the man. Soria's trust carried some weight, but that was loyalty to her, not any general regard for Cadran's.
No, Wendell is taking Zelisan with him, and no one else. If you wish to return home, I will not stop you, of course. But Wendell's family business is his own to keep to himself or not, as he chooses. One bodyguard is enough, Brannis informed Rakashi.
Yes, Wendell said. If I were as adept here as I am back in Cadran, I might do well on my own, or even if I were a younger man. However, if I must accede to the effects of age, I would prefer involving as few outsiders as possible in my family's affairs, Wendell contended, thankfully picking up on Brannis's wish for Rakashi to stay away from whatever plan he was working on between Takalia and Zoran. The Takalish warrior brushed aside the rejection as if it were of no concern.
Very well, then. I will accompany you and Soria.
That settles it, then.
Brannis clapped his hands once, signaling the finality of the assignments.
We have until we get to Takalia to work out any further details. Now I just have to go have a conversation about Tanner.
"Ah, Kyrus, you wonderful madman,"
Captain Stalyard laughed uproariously when he heard Brennus's plan.
"I think I might just start believing those tales I keep overhearing, that you are actually Brennus Solaran.
First, you cheat Denric Zane, then you threaten him, and when he shows you mercy by leaving you in paradise, you have your friends in Cadran arrange your rescue."
Stalyard paused a moment, realizing that it sounded very much like the plan he had followed to free Denric from Relis Island. Shaking this off as a coincidence, he continued,
"Now you are free, and the first thing you do is to try to get one of your assassins near to Captain Zane."
"He is no assassin. He is a swordsman and a coin blade," Brennus argued. "And you should have been one of the first to realize I was not actually Kyrus. You saw me not so very long ago. How many men can fill out a suit of armor so quickly, short of eating himself to ruinous girth?"
"You travel with a man who cheats at cards better than any I have ever seen. I have no idea his trick, but I know he was not winning fairly. And you had the potential to be a remarkably strong sorcerer. Even if the tale of your magical adventure were false, I would have to guard against deception by your own magic," Stalyard reasoned.
"Well, since you might as well warn Zane, it is Kyrus he will be matching wits with. I am also receiving proper training in magic from Rashan Solaran," Brennus bragged. "As for my adventure, it was an accident, and I am making the most of my situation here. Had I known so many of my own had twins on this side, I would have tried something like this all the sooner. I had hoped that Captain Zane would view Tanner's presence as a compromise. He gets his ambassador, and does not have to risk either me accidentally torching his vessel or deciding that I would be best off with him dead and tearing his source out."
"Well, maybe you are Brennus, and maybe you are Kyrus. To be quite honest," Stalyard began, then trailed off, changing his mind mid-sentence. "You know, there is a fanciful old map in my quarters. Perhaps you have seen it more recently than I. That is decorated along the margins. It shows the whole of the world as men once saw it, ending a bit east of Tecalia and a bit west of Acardia, with nothing between them, as if the world were not round and no man had set foot on Elok. The edges show serpents and devils, whirlpools and mermaids. There are even dragons there. If ever there were a man who might find his way off the map and find the land where dragons live, I suppose I would have to think of Kyrus. He is too strong for his own skills, a hazard to friend and foe alike."
"I'm not quite sure how to take that, but in any event, my offer stands. You have until we reach Tecalia to decide, but I think it works to everyone's benefit. Jinzan gets a line of communication with Cadran. You get to do Zane a service. Tanner gets to play pirate. I get some time with Soria without him around, constantly watching her." Brennus smiled. Stalyard nodded slowly in understanding.
"This is the man who wrings Denric Zane's neck at chess, I remember,"
Stalyard congratulated him.
"I see now. You are a man who moves men as chess pieces. It is a noble tradition, you know, among generals. A good tactician, whether on a chessboard, a battlefield, or at sea, knows that he must place carefully each of his own pieces, not just the important ones. Battles are won and lost because a small piece was in just the right place when it was needed."
"Something like that," Brennus shrugged.
"And pawns are meant to be used and discarded, when they serve their purpose best in death,"
Stalyard observed ominously.
"I do not intend that Tanner is being sacrificed, you know. If I thought Zane was going to kill him, if he could, mind you. The man is a demon with a blade, from what I hear."
Brennus immediately regretted his choice of words, but there was nothing to be done about it.
"Then I would not send him at all."
"Denric Zane is a man who thinks freedom is worth dying for. He understands that to make Magren free was a great thing, and worth the risk to himself. He sees freeing Cadran much the same way. He would like to see the people free, and your nobles and sorcerers ground to dust beneath his boot for how you behave. For all those noble thoughts, he would think nothing of sacrificing a pawn to advance his ends. Would you not do the same?"
Stalyard asked. Brannis found himself wondering about the dashing swashbuckler, whether there was more to him than met the eye, and not just his eye for detail or quick wit. He did not know the man well, but was seeing for the first time that he was perhaps a bit of a philosopher. I would. I have a job to do, and sometimes I have to order men to risk their lives based on my plans. Mune fell despite my efforts. We gave up Temple Hill as a diversion and a trap, knowing it would never hold. But I sent a lot of men to Mune who died because of it. They died trying to keep Mune free, but it fell anyway. The tragedy is that they died for freedom, but never had it to begin with, Stalyard said. How do you mean? Of course they were free, Brannis said. He suspected deep down that he knew the gist of what Stalyard's argument would be, and hated himself for it. Free? What would have happened if a soldier had said, "No, I will not fight. I wish to go home." And he did so, Stalyard asked, but he did not wait for Brannis to answer. I will tell you that he would be called a deserter. I do not know your custom for such matters, but I suspect he would be killed or thrown in a dungeon. That is the Cadren way. A Megrin soldier would be called a coward. They would take back any weapons and armor he had been given, any provisions the army had provided. It might mean that he walked home naked, begging at farmhouses for food, but it would be his choice. That is a free man. It sounds much the same. He would likely die of starvation as no one would feed a known deserter, or he might turn to brigandry. He is not really any better off than the Cadren deserter, except the Cadren would get a cleaner, quicker death, Brannis said. No army would hold together long should there be no punishment for desertion. Megrin merely made it unpalatable in a different way than Cadren did.
You really cannot see the difference, Stalyard asked innocently, shaking his head. I had hoped that maybe you would see more clearly, but the rot that the Empire brings has corrupted you as well, I see. Too much power, too close to the top, to see how little freedom there really is. The Megrin will fight for real freedom. They have gotten their own, and they will bring it to Cadren. They are even willing to die for it. And that is where we differ, the Megrin and I, Stalyard stated, reminding Brannis that Gar Danel was allied with Megrin, not a part of it. I am willing to kill for my freedom. I am even willing to kill for someone else's, if the right situation comes. I will not die for my freedom, though. That is the height of folly.
A lot of men die for their freedom. Entire wars are fought over it, Brannis said.
Freedom is the ability to choose your own path. The dead do not have that choice any longer, Stalyard noted.
Brannis could not argue the point. He merely made a note of it in the back of his mind, wondering if someday knowing that Stalyard valued his life over his freedom could be put to use. Brannis found himself conscious of reducing the person of Stalyard to a chess piece in his mind. He was a part of a much larger game than chess, and it was a game where the players had to be constantly learning more of the rules as they played. He had just discovered one of the rules for moving Stalyard,